Shalom to all. Today's office on Hedge and Daf Mem Zayin, and we're starting right at the top of the Almud. And today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mirim Sarah Basi Yaakov Moshe, her Nishama should have an Aliyah, El Ili Nishmas, or Bavram Ben Rabbi Yosef, in honor of his Shloshim, his Nishama should have an Aliyah, and he should be Melitz Yosher for his family and all of Klal Yisrael. Now we're right in the middle of discussing a Hesped, a eulogy for a mace, and in general, the covet which is done for a person after they die. The question is it Yakara de Chai? Is it for the honor of the living, the relatives, and the friends, or Yakara de Shichve for the honor of the deceased? So the Gemara says, Tashmi and Tempted Raya, Pasuk tells us, Nivze Be'in of Nim. One who's degraded in his own eyes and disgusted. This is something that's praiseworthy. This is referring to Chizkio, the king of Yehuda. Shigir asmus av valmita shel chavalim. He dragged the bones of his father, Achav, on a bed of ropes. This is after he died. And v'imushim yukar d'chayihu. If you want to say that things are done for the mace after the person dies, or for the honor of the living, by time of why he dragged his father, kechad havalei kapar lavua, so his father should have a kapara for everything that he did wrong. And v'imushim kapar d'avua mashu leile yukar d'Yisrael. Because of a kapar for his father, he should delay the honor of the Yidden. In other words, by the fact that we see the Chizkio had this pasuk of Nivze Be'in of Nimas applied to him due to the fact that he did this to his father, they would say for sure that if a person degrades the mace themselves, then that would bring degradation to the mace. Then we would not be able to say that everything done for the mace is Mishum Yikar D'chaye, because if it was, why would he be allowed to delay burying his father if that causes a lack of kavod to the Chaye, to all the people who are alive, meaning Am Yisrael? And the answer is no, Yisrael Gufayu Nichaluhu Demichli Yikarai L'Gabe, the Yidden themselves, it's better for them, they're happy that the Achaz would be getting this kapara, and therefore there's no raya. Tashma have another attempted raya. Amar lahen, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi told everyone, Al disabduni ba'yaros, don't give a eulogy for me in all the small cities on my way to being buried, only in the large ones. Now, v'yamar dikar d'chayi, if you want to say that everything done for mace is for the honor of the living, my nafkalam, you know, why would he care about that? Why would Rebbe care if they give eulogies for him in small cities or only in large ones? And the answer is that it's not a raya, kasavar, les yakru be Yisrael tfei, Rebbe figured there'd be a greater honor for the Yidden if they only are masped him in the big cities, so that everybody could come as a much larger crowd as opposed to in the small ones. So Tashma, we have another attempted raya. This is from our Mishnah, which says, they let the mace stay overnight unburied for its kavod. For example, to bring in an arn tachrichin, ain't no ever all of, they're not over. Now, is that mashma for the kavod of the mace? And so we see that everything done for the mace is for its kavod, not for the kavod of the people living. The Gemara says, it means for the kavod of the living person. And the question is, just because of the kavod of a living, we're going to let a mace stay overnight unburied? And the answer is in yes. And that's because Kiyom Rachman, when the Torah says, Lo yisal nevasei alo eitz, don't allow the corpse to stay overnight on the tree. Dom yedetali de'izbe bizayon. That means that the corpse is just not let it be in a way like it is on the tree, which is in a manner of bizayon. Aval hacha, but over here, kim delasei bizayon, loy. Since there's no bizayon, because they're just waiting for an arn or tachrichin to be brought, there's no bizayon, so that's not a problem. In other words, the Mishnah is not saying that this is a covet for the mace. It's simply saying that it's not a degradation for the mace, and that's why it's okay to leave him unburied overnight if we're waiting for Arvat Achrichin. So no raya from here. Tashma have another attempted raya. A braisa says, Holinu l'chvaydai, if they allow the mace to stay overnight unburied for its covered, l'shamea al v'yarois, you hear words about it in the city, l'avi l'mekainanois, or to bring wailers for it. They used to have these women who were officially hired to do the wailing by funerals, so maybe that was the reason why they waited for the mace to be buried, because they had to wait for the women, or l'avi l'Arvat Achrichin, to bring in Arvat Achrichin, ain't over all of, they're not over, there's no issue, shakala oise, ain't el l'chvaydai shal mace, because everything being done here is only for the covered of the mace. Mashma, the things that we do for the mace are for the covered of the mace, not for the covered of the living. So once again, the Gemara says, no, hachikam, this is what we could be saying in the Braisa, kol ha'osa l'chvayda shal chai, ain by bizayin l'mace, anything is being done for the covered of the living is not considered a bizayin for the mace. So once again, no raya. Now Tashma, here's our last attempted raya, and this is what we conclude with. Rav Nosson Omer, he says, simin yafa l'mace, it's a good simin for a mace, shen efran mimenu l'achar misa, if he gets punished after he dies. For example, mace shalai nisbad, a mace that didn't have a eulogy said about him, v'lonikbar, or he wasn't buried, or a wild animal dragged his body, or rain poured down on the mita, this is a good simon for the mace. Shmamino, we see from here, yukar d'shichvihu shmamino, this is a good raya, that everything done for the mace is for its covered, not for the covered of the living, because if it was for the covered of the living, then these things that we just said in this braisa wouldn't be considered a simon yafet for the mace. It wouldn't be a good sign for him that he's getting punished after he dies, and that he doesn't have to go to Gehenim, because we wouldn't care what happens to the mace after he dies, if everything we do for the mace is really for the living. It must be that we learn from this braisa that stuff done for the mace is for the mace. I think to explain the mission, we said, that when a person is killed by Bezdin, we do not bury him next to his forefathers and his family burial plot, rather we bury him in a special Beis HaKfaris for those who are executed by Bezdin. And the question is, why is this? Because we're not allowed to bury a Rasha by a Tzadik. How do we know this? How do we know that we don't bury a Rasha next to a Tzadik? Remember, because the Pasuk says, this is discussing a story that happened in the times of Nevi'im, where a Rasha was being brought out to be buried, and Vayihem Kaivrim Ish, they were on their way to burying the man, Vihine Roas Hagdud, and they saw a troop of soldiers and they got scared. So Vashlichu Asa Ish Bekever Elisha, they threw the man into the same kever that Elisha was buried in. This is referring to Elisha Navi. Vayelech, the corpse rolled, Vayiga Ha'ish Batsamis Elisha, and the man touched the bones of Elisha, Vayechi, and he lived. Vayakam al-Raglevin and got up on his feet. And so it must be the reason why the person had Chias Amesim is that he shouldn't remain buried next to Elisha. Elisha's a tzaddik, he was a Rasha, and so we see that a Rasha shouldn't be buried next to a tzaddik. However, Amalei Papa said to him, Vidum Lakuma, maybe the reason why this corpse came back to life was to fulfill the following pasuk, Vayhina Pishnai Bruch Chayloi, that I should have double of your ruach on me. This is referring to a conversation that took place with Eliyahu Navi in his capacity as the prophet of the Jewish nation. When he asked his Talmud Elisha Navi what gift he wants before he departs his world, Elisha replied that he wants double the Kayach of Eliyahu. And since we see in Navi that Eliyahu did Tchias HaMesim once, so it means that Elisha would have to do Tchias HaMesim twice. I wouldn't find Tchias HaMesim twice with Elisha. So maybe the only reason why this person whose body touched Elisha's bones came back to life was to fulfill this pasuk of Elisha carrying out Tchias HaMesim twice, but not because there's a problem with the Rasha being buried next to a tzaddik. However, Amalei, he told him that no, it can't be, because Ihachiv, that's so. Hanutanya, how do you understand the words of the Braisa, Al Raglav Amad, that this corpse stood up on his feet after touching the bones of Elisha, Ulubese Loihalach, but he didn't go to his house, meaning he only lived for long enough to walk out of the grave that he had rolled into, but then he died a short time later. So it must be the only reason why Tchias HaMesim there is that a Rasha shouldn't be buried next to a tzaddik. That's the Raya. So now the question just is, Ela Vahina Pishnaim, Hechem Shkachas Lo Adachaya. So where do we find the fulfillment of this pasuk that Elisha had double Yo and that he was Mechai Mesim twice? And Amalei Rechon told him, Shiripa Tsaras Naaman, he healed the Tsaras of Naaman, Shehi Shkul Kemes, a person who has Tsaras is like somebody who's dead, Dechsev, because the pasuk says, Al No Tehi Kemes. And we keep discussing this, Ochshem Shein Kevin Rasha Eitzel Tzaddik, the same way they wouldn't bury Rasha next to a Tzaddik, Kach Ein Kevin Rasha Chomer Eitzel Rasha Kal, we also don't bury a very extreme Rasha next to a person who's not such a big Rasha. That's why we have two separate Batei Kvaros for Meise Bezdin. We have Nisrafin and Niskalin in one Beis HaKvaros, they're the most Chomer Rashaim, and then we have Nerugin and Nechnokin in another Beis HaKvaros. Ask Gemara, Velisko and Arba Kvaros, why not have four Batei Kvaros then? Because we have four different levels of Rashaim. And the answer is no, Shnei Kvaros, Gemara Gemirla, we have a Messiah tradition that there's only supposed to be two different Batei Kvaros, not four. Now to a different topic, Amar Ula, Amar Yechnon, Ochal Chelev, a person ate forbidden fat, Vehifresh Karbon, he separated a Karbon in order to bring as his Kapara, Vehimir Dasai, and then he became Meshumid, an apostate. He became a renegade against the whole Torah, and we're not going to accept his Karbon then, but then Vechazar Bai, he was Chazar and came back to Yiddishkeit. Hoyel Venidche, Yidche. This is the Karbon was pushed away for a certain time when he was a Mummer, a Meshumid, apostate. We weren't able to bring his Karbon. Now it's considered completely pushed away, and we're never going to bring it. And Itmar Nami, something similar, stated, Amar Vyermi, Amar Bavo, Amar Biechanon, Ochal Chelev, a person ate forbidden fats, Vehifresh Karbon, he separated Karbon, Vinishtata, and then he became mentally unwell, and so we can't bring his carbon. And then Chazav Nishtapo, he came better again. Since the carbon was pushed away for a little bit, it's pushed away, and now we can't bring it anymore. And it's we have to have both of these cases. If we only had the first case of the person becoming a Meshomid, I might say Meshomid Iudachan Nafshibiyadayim. He pushed himself away. It was his choice to become a Meshomid. That's why we're not able to bring his carbon anymore. Aval Hai, but this other guy, the Mela Kadachi, he was pushed away on his own. He became a Shaita against his own will. Emakiyashandami, I might say he's like sleeping. And just like when a person's sleeping, we can't bring his carbon, but when he wakes up again, we're able to bring it. So maybe it's the same thing. When the person became better after for a short amount of time becoming a shaita, maybe we could bring his carbon. And Vyashmin Hacha, if we only had this case, I might say the reason why we can't bring his carbon, even once he becomes better, is Mishum de Inbiyad Lachsar, is because it wasn't within his ability to become better. When he became crazy, when he's mentally unfit, he wasn't able to change his status to becoming better. And therefore, even once he did become better, we can't bring his carbon. Aval Hassan, but over there, when the guy became a Mishumid, to Biyad Lachsar, he could be Chazer, he could do true whenever he wants. I might say that it's not a problem and we could bring his carbon once he does tshuva. And in both scenarios, once the carbon is pushed away, that's it, and we don't bring it anymore. Now, Omar Vyasa Vyasa says, we also learned this. We have a mission that discusses the Irani Dachas. This is where the majority of people were Ivan of Azara, and not only do we kill everyone that was Ivar, but we also burn everything in the city, except for certain things. And this is what the mission says, kachim, kachim is bayach. If there was kachim in the city that were kachim is bayach, yamusu, they have to be left to die, and they cannot be brought as a carbon because that's zevach rishayim. It's a carbon from Rishayim, and we do not bring carbonus of Rishayim. And Kachi Badek Abayas, if there was Kachim there that were dedicated to the base of Mikdash to be used for its upkeep, Yipadu, they should be redeemed. Now, if Abin Abba, we ask on this, Amayamusu, why should these carbonus die? Kivin de Ikdol, Havalu Kapara. Once the person was killed, that's a Kapara for the person, Veliskul Gavaya. And now the carbon is not considered a Zevach Rishayim, and we should be able to bring it in the base of Mikdash. And we don't say that, obviously. So, La Mishum Darminin, isn't it because we say, Hoyal Venetchu Yitchu, since they were pushed off, and there was a certain point in time where the person was considered a Rasha, and that we weren't able to bring their carbon because of that, so that's it. We're not going to bring the carbon anymore. However, Amalei Abaye told him, "No, me Savras, Mesbitach Rishay Havalei kapara? Do you really think that if a person dies while he's a rasha, that's considered a kapara, and therefore the reason why we wouldn't bring this carbon of his is because hayol v'nitchu? That's not true. Meis mitaych risha lo yavle kapara. If a person dies while he's a rasha, that's not a kapara for him, and therefore his carbon is still considered a zevach rishayim. And how do I know this? The Tanya of Shmaya or Shmaya taught the following has to do with a kayin whom we know is not allowed to become tameh meis unless it's to an immediate relative, for example, his father or mother. Yachol, you might think afilu pirshu avayisav m'darki tzibur yitma, that even if his parents left the derech tzibur, they went off the derech, they stopped keeping mitzvahs, that he's allowed to become tameh to them. Tamalim, the pasuk says regarding kayin becoming tameh ba'amav, and that tells us ba'ayse ma'ase amav only if his relative, for example, his parents, are doing the deeds of the nation. But if they're not keeping mitzvahs, then the kayin, their son, is not to become tameh to them when they die. So we see very clearly that when a person dies while they're still a rasha, that's not considered a kapara for them. However, Amalei Rav, Rav told him, Mikam adamas narg mitach rishai lemes mitach rishai. Are you comparing a person who is killed as a rasha to a person who died as a rasha? Mes mitach rishai. If a person died while they're rasha, kivin dechei urche kamayis, since they died like the regular way of the world, loy havalei kapara. That's not considered a kapara for them. But narg mitach rishai, if a person was killed while he was a rasha, like the irani dachas that we're talking about, kivin delav ki urche mayis, since he didn't die a natural death, he was killed while he was rasha, havalei kapara. That actually would be a kapara for him. And Tehdi, you should know this is true, because the pasuk says, Mizmar al Asaf, Elikim boga yunachla secha, the nations have come to your nachla, timos hecha gachecha, they were metame your holy hechal, vegeimer. The next pasuk says, Nosnu is nivlas avadecha, machal oif hashemayim, the corpse of your avadim was made into food for the birds of the heaven, besar chasidecha, the flesh of your chasidim, lachaisai aret. Now we ask, my avadecha, my chasidecha, what's understanding of these two different words used in the pasuk? One is eved and one is chasid. Lav chasidecha, chasidecha mamish, isn't chasidecha referring to a person who is a chassid, meaning he always was pious, and avadecha, what's that referring to? Hanech demechayv edino demekara. These are people that originally were bad, they were ever averus, and they were chayv punishment, v'kivan de'iktol, but since they were killed, kari lu avadecha, they're called avadim, as we see that when a person is killed while he's a rasha, that's considered a kapara for him. However, Amalei Abaye told him, no. Mikam adamis memzayno abeza atab haruge malchus laruge bezdin, or we're able to compare somebody who's killed by malchus, meaning by the non-Jews, to somebody who's killed by bezdin, haruge malchus, somebody who's killed by non-Jews. That's what the pasuk's referring to. Kivin deshuloy b'din komikdili. Since they were killed, this is not the proper din. They shouldn't have been killed. A guy killed him. Havlu kapara. So their death is a kapara for them, even if they die as a rasha. But aruge bezdin, somebody who's killed by bezdin, kivin de b'din komikdili. Since they were killed b'din, they were supposed to be killed because they were rasha. Loy havlu kapara. That's not a kapara for them. And you should know this is true. That not because our mishnah says loy hayikavron aysoy b'kvar savaysav. A person who's executed by bezdin is not buried in their family burial place. Now visal gadaitoch kivin de iktol havlu kapara. If you want to say that since they were killed by Bezdin, that's considered a kapara for them. So likbaru, let them be buried with their family in their family burial plot because they already received the kapara and they're not a rasha anymore. And by the fact that we say that they cannot be buried in their family burial plot, it must be that even though they were killed by Bezdin, since they were rasha, that's not considered a kapara for them. However, the Gemara says that's not a raya because misa kvura b'inon, such a person, in order to get full kapara, needs not only misa, but also kvura. And it's only after the nikbar, then that's their full kapara, which is why they can't be buried in their family burial plot due to the fact that they're still considered a rasha before they're buried. However, Moshe Rav Rav, he asked on this, we said in the Mishnah as well, Lohim is ablin elo einin, that the relatives of the person executed by Bezdin are not allowed to mourn, but they are allowed to be ma'ainin, she'ein aninos el belev, because aninos is just in the heart. It's an internal grieving. Now, if you want to say that once the one who's executed is buried, there's a kapara for him, so let the relatives mourn for him, because the person's not considered a rasha anymore, so therefore the relatives should be allowed to show an outward expression of mourning. And the answer is that no, but inanami equal basar, that there also has to be some sort of decomposition of flesh in order for the one who's executed to attain full kapara. And dekinami is also meduik diktani, because the Mishnah says nisachal habasar, once there's this decomposing of the flesh, malakinus hatzamais, so then they can actually gather his bones, the kavron of son bimkaimon, and bury them in their place. So we know, we see from here that a person killed by Bezdin needs all three of these things in order to achieve a kapara, namely he was killed by Bezdin and he's buried, and there has to be a little bit of decomposition of his body in order for him to get that full kapara. Now Ravashi gives a different reason why the relatives of the executed are now allowed to be misabel for him. That's because Avelus Meimus HaKamascheles. When does Avelus officially start? Mistimas HaGoylol. When there's Stimas HaGoylol, which right now we're understanding to mean when the Aron is closed, when the lid is put on top of the Aron of the Mace, that's the official time that Avelus would start. But Kapara Meimus HaKahavio, when does Kapara start? Mechichazu Tzar the Kivra Porta, when there's a little bit of Tzar in the Kever, is also known as Chibet HaKever, meaning when the flesh starts decomposing, which basically means that Avelus starts before the Mace got a kapara, and since the relatives are now allowed to be misabel for him before he gets a kapara, hilkach therefore, helv idchu yidchu, once it was pushed away, meaning once they weren't able to be misabel from the beginning, it's pushed away completely, and they're not even Masabla at all, even once the Kapara starts. Ask the Gemara, Yachiv, that's really so. Lomali Ikol Basar. So why does Mishnah say that in order to transfer the bones of the one who's executed, there has to be complete decomposition of the body, if there really only has to be Tsar the Kivra Purta in order for that Kapara to happen? And the answer is practical, Mishum Dalei Efshar, because it's simply not possible. Once the body begins decomposing, you simply can't move it for a number of different reasons, and therefore, again, else practicality, we have to wait till after it completely finishes decomposing. But really, according to Rav Ashi, the full kapara happens already once it begins. Now, the story of Kivra de Rav, the Kivra of Rav, Havu Shalkul Minei Afra, they used to take dirt from it, La'ish de Bas Yoima, for a one-day-old fever, and that would heal people. And also, Amrili Shmuel, they came and told Shmuel this. Amrili told them, Yos Avdin, this is good, it's okay for them to do this. They're allowed to use the dirt from his kever because Karka Olamahu, this is just regular karka, it's regular dirt, but Karka Olam in an SRS, and dirt can become usur. We know that the effects of a mace or anything having to do with a mace is usur ba'ana, but this is just dirt, so it can't be usur ba'ana. Now, how do we know this? The pasuk says, Vayashach Zafar el Kever B'nei Ha'am, and he threw its ashes, this is referring to Avodah Zarah, into Kever B'nei Ha'am, meaning into graves. And we know that Avodah Zarah is usur ba'ana as well. Now, Makish Kever B'nei Ha'am, Avodah Zkechavim, we compare a regular Kever to Avodah Zarah. Mavod Zkechavim, just like Avodah Zarah, B'mechaber Loi Mestera, that when it's connected to the ground, it's not usur ba'ana. The pasuk says, Asheretim Yershim Aysam, that which you're driving out of the land, Esalehayim, their gods, Al Hahar Maramim, on the high mountains and hills. And what do we learn from here? Al Haharim Elihayim. These gods that the nations worshipped were on the mountains. Veloy Haharim Elihayim. But the mountains themselves were not their gods. In other words, we see from this pasuk that talks about chasing the non-Jews out, that their gods were on top of the mountains, but that the mountain itself, meaning something that's Mechubar Lekarka, can't be considered a god. It can't be Asar as an Avodah Zarah. And Hachanam, so it's over here, but Mechubar Lemitzer, something that's connected to the ground of a grave, such as dirt, is not Asar, as there's no problem taking dirt from Rav's grave. Now the question is, Meisei, we have a verse that says, if a person digs a kever for his father, and then he ended up burying his father in a different place, he's not allowed to be buried in it, meaning no one's allowed to be buried in this grave that was dug for his father because it already became Asar Ba'ana. As we see that the grave, which we're understanding right now, is referring to dirt, could become Asar Ba'ana. So the verse says, no, what are we talking about over here? But kever binyan, it's a kever that's a building of sorts. According to Rashi, it's referring to kever that's over ground. According to other mefarshim, it's referring to a kever that's in the ground, but it's lined with something that could be mekabel tuma, for example, wood or something like that, and that's why it's usur. But again, we're not referring to the dirt itself. Tashma, we have another tempted question. Kever chadash, a brand new kever that was never designated for anyone in particular, mutar ba'ana, it is mutar ba'ana. However, hitl by nefel, if a stillborn was placed in it, even though this is a tiny little person and it's not someone who's full grown, usur ba'ana, it's usur ba'ana. As we see that the ground itself could become usur. And the Gemara answers no, hachanami, but kever binyan, this is also talking about a kever binyan. Tashma, we have another tempted question. Nimsa ato omer, turns out that you say, shalish kvar saying that there's three different types of kvars, three different statuses. Kever nimsa, a kever that was found in a person's property that, let's say, he purchased, and as he was going through, he found a kever there, or kever hayudua, a kever that he knows about. And lastly, kever amazikas rabim, a kever which damages others, it's in a public thoroughfare, people walk over it and become tameh, so that's a third status. Now we explain them. Kever nimsa, a kever that was found in his property, mutal fanoisai, he's allowed to move it out of his property because it shouldn't have been buried here in the first place. Pinom kaimai, and once he removed it from his place, tahar, that spot that was occupied by the kever is tahar, umutar bana, and it's mutar bana, kever hayudua, a kever that he knew about, which means the person was allowed to be buried there. Also, lefanoisai, he's not allowed to move those bones somewhere else. Pinom kaimai, if he did move it from its place, tameh, that area is still tameh, v'asar bana, and he's not allowed to benefit from it. And lastly, kever amazikas rabim, a grave that's damaging the public, mutar lefanoisai, it's allowed to be moved. Pinom, once he moved it, mekaimai tahar, its place is tahar, v'asar bana, but that place is asar bana. So we see from here that a place that was a kever could be asar bana. And once again, the Gemara answers hachanami here also, but kever binyan. Now we just ask, a kever anemtza, mutar lefanoisai, a kever that he found in his field, that the person seemingly was not allowed to be buried there. He's allowed to just pick up these remains and move them somewhere else. Del mes mitzvah hu. Maybe it's a mes mitzvah. U mes mitzvah kana mekaymai. And a mes mitzvah acquires its place. We know the person's walking along the way and he finds a person lying dead on the side of the road. That's called a mes mitzvah. And he should dig a grave right there. It's kana mekaymai. That's where the mes belongs. So maybe this guy who bought this field, he's walking through, he sees a grave there. That was a mes mitzvah and it's allowed to be there. And the answer is that no, shani mes mitzvah, the kol islay. A mes mitzvah has a kol. Everyone's going to know about it and that he would have known about this grave. And by the fact that he just discovered it there, it must be that the mace doesn't really belong here. Now, continue to talk about things that have to do with the mace and whether or not they're asur ba'ana. Itamar was stated, ha'orik beged lemace, a person who wove a beged for a mace, for example, tachrichin, burial shrouds, he wove them for a dead person. Abai Amar Abaya says, asur, these are asur ba'ana. Rav Amar Rav says, mutter, it's mutter ba'ana. Abai Amar asur, he says, asur, hazmana milsehi. Hazmana means preparation or designation. That's considered something real and halachic, and even though it was never used for the mace, but it was just designated for him, nonetheless, it's asur ba'ana. Whereas Rav Amar Rav says, mutter, they're mutter because hazmana lav milsehi, just designated designating it for a mace doesn't mean anything, and that doesn't all of a sudden make it like it's for the mace, and therefore it's not asur ba'ana. Now, my time dabai, what's Abaye's reasoning? That's because gomer sham sham me'egla rufa. We have xer shava with the word sham sham from egla rufa. Magla rufa, just like egla rufa, bazmana mitzara, when the calf that's going to be used for the whole process of egla rufa is simply designated as such, it becomes asur right away, even though it was never used yet. Hainami, this too, for a mace, bazmana mitzara, simply designating it for the mace already asurs it. Whereas varava gomer sham sham me'avetz kechavim. Rava learns a different xer shava, sham sham, from avayt zara. Just like by Avayt Zara, if somebody designated something to be used as part of the service of Avayt Zara, for example, he has a cow and he says, I'm going to use this to serve such and such Avayt Zara, the cow is not asur until it's used for the Avayt Zara. Over here, for example, our baguette that was woven for the mace, simply designating it for use of the mace doesn't asur it, it actually has to be used for it. Now the question is, why doesn't Rava learn from Egla Rufa? That's because Amalcha, he would tell you, on top, we learn something that's used from something else that's used, meaning begadim that are going to be used for a mace are going to be learned from something that's being used for avad zara, lafuke egla rufa, that excludes egla rufa, the higufa kedusha. It itself is kadosh. It's not like it's servicing something else. It's not being used for a different purpose. It itself is part and parcel of the whole egla rufa procedure. Therefore, Rava doesn't learn from it. If Abaye my time legar mevayz kechavim, why doesn't Abaye learn like Rava from avad zara? And the answer is, Amalcha, he would tell you, me the urche gamrinon. We're going to learn something. This is the norm. This is the regular way to do it. Making tachrichim for a mace is what a yid should be doing. And if we have to go through the procedure of egla rufa, that's also something that should be done. It brings about a kapar and whatnot, so that's considered urche. Lafuke avayz kechavim, this excludes avayz zara, the lav urcha. This is not the norm. A yid should definitely not be doing avayz zara, and therefore we're not going to learn from avayz zara. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this machlokes. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.